Got a Bible with you, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We continue our study, working our way through the Old Testament actually is our goal. We are stopping in many places, not the least of which is Proverbs. And in particular in Proverbs, we're pursuing a thing called wisdom. Seems to be rare as hen's teeth anymore. I shouldn't say that. There's a lot that's called wisdom today that definitely is not. And things we're going to study today in some ways are going to highlight that because, they just pointed out. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to be down in verse 6 in just a minute. You know what a myrmecologist is? Comes from the word myrmecology. It's important that you know what this is because the Bible actually says that this is what you're supposed to be. Ology, of course, is the study of. Myrma is ant in Latin. You are all, including me, supposed to be ant studiers. According to your Bible, look at verse 6. Go where? So you're supposed to be one of those. You're supposed to study these little guys. Oh, sluggard. Underline that one. Observe her ways, notice, and be wise. There's a part of our progression, if you will, in the study of wisdom, the application, and the living out of wisdom in our lives, in which we're going to have to learn from some very humble creatures, if you will. How is it possible that a creature so small, so, in some ways, seemingly insignificant, how is it possible that we can learn from them? These creatures are amazing in many ways, carry things 20 times their weight. Build structures 500 times the height, their own height, without any kind of machinery. But the interesting thing is how long do you plan to live? A long time, right? These guys live an average of 52 days, but they have something to teach you. So are you willing to learn from these guys? I hope you are, because the Bible says through the Holy Spirit that you need to listen to what they have to teach us. They're so small, and yet they affect so much. Let's read the rest of the verse 6 through 8. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which have no chief, officer, or ruler, nobody to crack the whip over them. But it says they prepare their food in summer and gather her provisions in the harvest. So much we can learn from these little guys. So much we can gather from the ants. So small and yet they affect so much. In East Texas, where I'm from, we've basically given up to them. We have festivals now to ants. Marshall, Texas in East Texas. Chamber of Commerce, notice. Fire Ant Festival is not a small thing in Marshall. They have floats, bands. I mean, we have the Fire Ant in Marshall, Texas. I'm not from Marshall, but it's East Texas. Fire Ant Queen, King. Why do we do that? Because if you've ever been around fire ants, you know who's the king. Wouldn't you like to prosper like the ant? You ever try to stop ants? They are some prosperous little creatures. They really are. Wouldn't you like to prosper in life the way an ant prospers? Well, there's so much we have to learn about the ant. And the first thing that I want to underscore, not necessarily, maybe it is the most important thing in the order of the things that we're going to learn this morning. But what the ant does for us, it really focuses us really clearly on what the biblical teaching of wisdom actually is. So here's something you need to know about an ant. An ant does not have an education. That cancels out a lot of us. We were interested. We want to go listen to somebody with an education, for crying out loud. Somebody with letters after their names, don't you know? That's so important. I got letters after my name. I got an education. But how important is it for that to contribute to wisdom? Well, an ant doesn't have those things. Doesn't have any letters after his name. Doesn't write blogs. Doesn't have a talk show. Hasn't written any books. Doesn't even speak. So we rate these things very high. But they're not rated very high in the area of wisdom. And they're neither here nor there. They can be, may or may not indicate you've got wisdom. You've got all those things. All right, super. But you may not be wise because the ant has none of those things. The Bible says you need to listen to these guys. Because they're not just smart. They are wise. It really focuses, like I said, this underlines the whole meaning of what the Bible teaches, what wisdom is. The wisdom that they have is evidenced not by what they say, because they say nothing. It's evidenced by what they do. Which again, what is our definition of biblical wisdom? Wisdom is as wisdom does. That's right. Wisdom, biblical wisdom, godly wisdom, is the skill for living life God's way. If you lack that skill, you lack wisdom. But you're here, and you're willing to listen, and that's great. That's the step in the right direction. You're going to have to get on your knees before God, and God, help me to be the person that I can possibly be. And believe me, if that's where you are, a step up is to become an ant. We're going to see why ants, if more ants were in this room, we'd be far better off if we could just simply think like they do. Biblical wisdom is a skill for living life God's way. So the ants teach us, first of all, they teach us not to confuse information with wisdom, not to confuse education with wisdom, not to confuse communication with wisdom. And we put high priorities on these things. Does he speak well? Does he have a good education? Well, not a reason you should listen to him. Not a good reason. Now, maybe he's wise with all those things, and you can be. But Ann has none of those things, and he definitely is wise. Wisdom is something that you do, not just something that you know. So what else can we learn from the ants? Well, there's lots of things. Ants, number two, lesson we can learn. Ants are team players. They're team players. You find an ant on the counter in your kitchen, what does that mean? It's all by itself. What does that mean? He's not all by himself. You just caught a special situation in which you only saw one ant, or maybe you're not looking carefully enough, or maybe if you get up in the middle of the night, you're going to find a whole lot more ants. But if there's one, there's always more than one. Ants don't run by themselves. They play as a team. They're not lone rangers. You see, an ant by itself, that's not what an ant's by itself. They always play on a team, and so it is. We are called. Not God doesn't call Christians to be lone rangers. He's not called us out to be all by ourselves. And I'm not saying there's special calls. There's missionaries and circumstances where God has called them out on the frontier of God's work, wherever they are, and they're by themselves to a degree. Nonetheless, we know that they're supported by the body of Christ. But we have a lot of people in Western culture, United States culture, a lot of Christians, I'm not arguing their salvation, but who are all by themselves, claiming that God put them there, not affiliated with any church, not involved in any local organization, all by themselves, and they say that God did it. Well, I tell you what, God did not do it, I would say in most cases. The bottom line is they just simply can't get along with people. They got problems. They really do, because they've not gone to the ant, because the ant does not play without a team. The Bible calls us the body of Christ, right? It doesn't use that euphemistically. It truly is. We are the body of Christ. The body is always joined to itself. Have you ever woke up in the morning and your arm is somewhere else in the house? Your foot, maybe, is on vacation. Have you ever done that? No, your body works in a unison. When is it ever that a kneecap cloisters itself off from the rest of the body? When does that ever happen? When do you ever see fingers crawling down the street all by themselves, except in horror movies? When is it that you see noses out sniffing out the issues without the support of the body? It doesn't happen, but it does happen in the body of Christ, because we are taught by our culture and we take it into our churches that we're lone rangers. It's all me. It's just me and God. Well, yeah, there is a level at which it needs to be just you and God, and you need to stand up for what's right. You need to stand up for what God did. But you need to understand there is a body that you have to, number one, get along with, that you have to play on a team with. And some of us have personal issues that keep us from doing that. And we need to learn to get past that. Go, the Bible says, to the ant. As it is with the body, so it is with ants. Ants are greater than the sum of their parts. And you know that if you've ever tried to fight them. Let's say you have one ant hill in your yard, and you've got a big yard. And you take all the ants out of the ant hill and you weigh them. You know how much they're going to weigh? Less than a tenth of a pound. But even with that one ant hill in a very large yard, it's possible, probable, that you can be stung by one of those ants at any place in your yard. You know that, don't you? How is it possible that something so fractionally small, capable of dominating such a large area? Team, guys. They only play as a team. They don't do it any other way. Go to the ant and learn from her, the scripture says. Third thing we can learn from the ant. Ants are selfless. You see an ant out working hard, you can be sure of one thing. He's not working just for himself. He's working for the greater good. No exceptions. You don't have to sit down with an ant and tell him to please, if you would just please think of others. An ant doesn't have to have that conversation. Because it never crosses his mind to think any other way. It's just the way they are. They function for the good of the whole constantly. They'll sacrifice themselves for the good of the whole. It's just the way they operate. God even built them that way. You know, ants are unusual in the sense of the insect world because ants have two stomachs. All of them do. They have two stomachs. You know why they have two stomachs? They're not the same reason that a cow or a sheep or a goat would have two stomachs. They have two stomachs because they eat from one and they feed others through the other. You see, not all the ants leave the nest, in case you hadn't noticed that. They're all over your yard, but you step on that nest, you're going to find a bunch of them stayed home. So the ones that go out in the yard and hunt, they're filling up two stomachs, one for themselves and one for whoever stayed behind. It's just the way they operate. Likewise, God has called us to not just think of yourselves. We live in a culture, again, that bombards us. Take care of number one. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says take care of others. Esteem others more highly than you esteem yourselves. Think of others first, not yourself. See, if we had known that, if we'd gone to the ant. Because the ant would teach us that right away. They are selfless. Four things that we can learn from the ant is that they don't quit. Like I said, if you've ever tried to fight them, you know that this is true. The things that I've done to ants, I grew up in, like I said, an ant culture. Fire ants were just the way it was. We played football in the spring and in the fall. The coach, I don't know where you're from, but the coach never had to tell us to get up off the ground. But you stayed on that ground very long and you were going to get fire ants. You had to be real careful when you were hunting. We like to hunt up in trees, but not because the view was better necessarily, because on the ground, I had a friend that was kneeling down trying to hide from an animal that we were trying to hunt. And the next thing I know, he goes running off through the woods, stripping off all his clothes. Look at this kid has gone nuts on me. He's got a gun. He had kneeled down in an ant bed. And if you've been around fire ants, you know that they wait till half their number is on you before they give the signal. Then they all bite at the same time. Well, that's what was happening to the friend of mine. Ants are, they don't know what defeat is. No one ever had a conversation, and if they did, they didn't get it because they don't understand what defeat is. Here's some things I've done to ants. I poisoned them. I've stuck firecrackers in their nest. I have poured gasoline on them. Sometimes I lit it, sometimes I didn't. I reenacted Noah's flood over them. I had a friend that would take a cutting torch. You know what a cutting torch is? Acetylene and oxygen, basically. He would light it and mix it rich where it's really running hot, where it's really cutting well, and then he would pop it off on something, stop the flame, but the gas is still coming out. So this rich gas, and he would take the nozzle and put it down in the hole of an ant bed and let it sit there and run gas, heavy gas, down into the hole until it filled up the entire ant bed, and then he would stand upwind. You only do that once, the wrong way. Stand upwind and flip a match down on to the ant bed, and you'd hear this small atomic burst, and the ground about 5 feet around diameter of the ant bed would sink about 2 inches. Just boom. And that ant bed was gone. But I guarantee you, did he get rid of the ants? You can't. If you've ever tried to fight them, they don't know what it is to quit. They don't know what defeat is. They don't understand it. You go on a picnic and you wrap your food up in 5 different plastic wrappers, layer upon layer. And by the end of the picnic, there will be ants on that food. It makes no difference. They don't know when to stop. They don't understand what stop is. To them, but here's the reason why. Here's the lesson we need to learn from them. Of course, the lesson of not being quitters. But the ants are a single mission. And they're single-minded about it. And not a flood, nor a fire, nor an atomic blast, nor anything else changes that mission for them. They lose members. Doesn't change the mission. They lose nest. Doesn't change the mission. Doesn't change their minds. They just find a new way to go about it. What a lesson we could learn as Christians from the ants. They're not quitters. What a lesson we can learn when God has called us and given us a mission that we're supposed to be single-minded about, and yet we let so many things stop us. We allow fear to stop us, obstacles to stop us. There's an obstacle in the way, and we say, oh, well, God must not be in will of it. Well, it says it in the Scriptures. It doesn't say there's an exception to it. The ants find no exception to their mission, no matter what happens. And therefore, they don't quit. We need to go to the ant, don't we? Which brings up the next point. Every ant has a job. Some patrol, some gather, some defend, some dig, Some care for the young, all for the overall good. So in the anthill of God's process, what is your job? And you say you don't have one. Well, I would say, according to the scriptures, at least as far as an ant goes, you're not wise. God has called us and placed us in the body of Christ as He wills, gifted us and called us. You understand that the gifts that you have, the abilities and the calling that you have is not for yourself. It's for the greater good. You have a job and a place inside the anthill, if you will, of God's ministry that you're called to. Do you know what that place is? You'd be wise if you would figure out what it is. Because the ant always knows what his job is. You never find a bunch of ants sitting around unemployed. Do you? Everybody's got something to do. And everybody does it. Very important that we grasp that. Every ant has a job. A sixth thing that we can learn from ants. And a very important thing is that ants, as it says here in verses 6 and verse 7 and 8, ants learn, they know how to plan for the future. They plan, they save up in the summer. Why? Because winter's coming, right? How often does winter come? Every year, right? Have you noticed that? 365 days, and somewhere within that 365, now this down here, it's been, I think we had 4 days of winter, but it still came. Where you're from, wherever you're from up north, I guarantee it was a whole lot worse. But winter comes every single year. So how much snap do you have to realize that you got to make hay while the sun's shining? That you got to save up, that you've got to take care. And when I talk about winter, I'm not talking about necessarily a season in the sense of cold or hot. I'm talking about the seasons in life. We have lots of winters in life, don't we? Do you know when they're coming? So you don't really know, but you know that they are, don't you? Because everybody goes through winters. Relational winters, emotional winters, financial winters, job winters, circumstances, health winters that we all go through. Who's it going to have? Is there going to be exception in this room to those things? So you know winter's coming. Are you preparing for it? Are you saving for it? Are you taking care of it? Remember, I talked to the kids down here, if you were in here just a little while earlier, speaking to the kids. God always promises to provide for us, but sometimes He provides for us in advance. Sometimes the advance that I get is not for me to go blow and buy a bunch of new stuff. The advance that I get is to look forward and say, what could possibly be coming down the pipe? Some people have this attitude from the scriptures, or they claim it's from the scriptures, that the Christian is not supposed to save. You didn't get that from the ant. You didn't get that. I think you misread some scriptures in the New Testament that talk about hoarders. Selfish people who don't think of others. People who are unwilling to share. Yeah, the Bible is against that, but the Bible definitely teaches about saving. Definitely teaches about planning for the future. If you went to the ant, you would know that. Because that's what they do. You know, another interesting thing, if you think about the ant who only lives 52 days, the ant that's saving in the summer, what is he going to see what he's saving in the wintertime? Isn't that interesting? So a little bitty guy with no blog spot, no education, has enough snap to save for a future that he will not live in. That's something. That's something, of course. Now, what I'm asking you with gray hair or no hair is to give all your money to your grandkids. Now, let me just comment on that. It may be the worst thing you ever did to them. The stuff that you get that you don't work for very few people survive a windfall. Remember that. So you can give all your money to me. I'll give you my bank account right now. Go ahead. I'm no exception to that. Ants plan for a future that they will not live in. Are you doing that same thing? I'm not talking about finances. Maybe I think you probably ought to blow it all. Go with us to Israel. Give it all to missions. But you have something much more valuable than your money or your property. You have the wisdom and knowledge of God. You've got the understanding of God. You've got the Word of God. Yeah, I believe, and I hope that I'm wrong, but I believe as far as the Western culture and the United States in particular, there's a winter coming for us that's greater than any other winter we've had for the Christian. It's coming for us. We've had a reprieve briefly. I honestly don't think it's going to last. I'm not trying to make you sad. I'm just saying things seem to be sliding, and I don't see a way they're going to turn around apart from an intervention of God. So are you preparing those behind you that are not going to be, you're not going to be here? Praise God, you're not going to be here, right? Too bad for you guys. You were born at a wrong time. Is that really our perspective? Or should we not be sitting down with them and say, listen to me. A winter's coming for you. You need to know the Lord and you need to know His ways, because it's going to be too late to learn it by then. Are we preparing as the ant prepares? We would if we had gone to the ant. So many things we can learn from the ant. Ants are patient. Are you patient? Go to the ant. They'll wait for you. They're consistent. You ever gotten up so early that the ants weren't working? They beat you to work every time, don't they? We have an ant that works that lives in our part of the world. It's a tropical ant called a cut ant, but it works all night, sleeps all day. Works all night. The reason why you work all night, because you go to bed one night and your tree has all the blooms and all the leaves on it, and you wake up the next morning and it has none of those things. They've cut them all down and there's no evidence. They've all stuck them in the ground. It's a tropical ant. They work all night. Ants are patient. They're consistent. They're disciplined. They're determined. They're cooperative. They find a way. They wait their turn. They don't break lines. They don't fight each other. So many things we can learn from the ant. So many things we can learn from the ant. I left the last thing, the most obvious thing, I believe, when we think of an ant, we think of certainly the most observable thing about the ant, is that they're hard workers. They're hard workers. You don't have to have a motivational seminar for ants about how to get themselves up and going. You don't have to teach them that. They do it. They're up early. They stay up late. They give themselves away for the sake of the mission. They're single-minded about it. They work. They do what they're supposed to do. Likewise, a church, a ministry, is supposed to be a ministry in which everybody's working. Everybody's serving. Everybody knows their place and fills their place and does what they're supposed to do. Doesn't look for recognition. Doesn't care about anything. Receives joy when they see the body progress. The anthill, if you will, of Christ becoming what it's supposed to be. That's when you see it. When you see, on the other hand, a ministry or a church or whatever the circumstances is, where just a few people are propping the whole place up, you got a bunch of people that aren't very wise. You for certain have a bunch of people that have not learned anything from the ant. Because that's not the way the ant works. Speaking of that, it gives me an opportunity every year, and I like to do it this time of year. We've done it a couple of years, I think, in a row now, which I've kind of given you sort of a State of the Union address of what's going on in this anthill. A lot of you sitting in this room are not members of our church, and you may not be aware of all the things that God is doing here and has been doing throughout this past year. God has really blessed us for a number of years now. God has really blessed us in the ministries that He's given to us, and I just want to highlight some of those things to us, because the bottom line is we have a lot of ants in this church. Some of them real fire ants, who volunteered their time and their talents to do the things that God has called them to do. The two biggest ministries we have in our church have to do with those who are 18 and below, children and youth. We have a children's ministry that is doing incredible things. We have two campuses in which we do children's ministry, this one and one in Laguna Heights, which is a community across the bridge. Averaging 30 over here, 23 over there a week, 18 on Thursday nights. Summers over there, we've had 15 per day in our children's program on a daily basis, Monday through Wednesday. Three vacation Bible schools this past year with 64 kids. We gave away school supplies to 89 kids. We took 14 kids to camp. We gave away 300 stockings to children in the communities across the bay over there. God has really, really blessed the children's ministry in a tremendous way. Not to be undone, not to be outdone by the youth ministry. Our youth ministry also has three different aspects. Has a sixth grade ministry. We've had 15 on average coming to that. A junior high ministry, 22 on average kids coming to that. Senior high ministry, 35 senior high kids coming to that. We took 46 kids to camp this past year. And God did some great things. We had some kids that made some very life-changing decisions. And I went as a counselor this past year. And I was asked by our youth director, Miss Irma. Don't decide, am I not here? She's over there. She's over there working right now because she has a youth thing going on. But I was asked by her this year if I was going back to camp, and I said, no, I'm absolutely not going back to camp. I don't want to go back with those kids. But I said, what'd we do, right? You're just being you. No, I love you guys. You know I do. I just don't want to go. But I said, I can't not go because God's doing so many great things with our kids. I have to be there. I have to be a part of that. And so, yes, I'm going to go. Stop crying. Because this year we're taking 70 kids to camp, God willing, and in two different camps. And it's part of the reason why we're having this fundraiser, because kids have got to raise money. Camp costs over $200 a piece. And so if you can contribute that and help us with that, we'd really appreciate it. But a total ministry on a weekly basis, we minister to 143 people under the age of 18 and below. So in this room right now, you got about 200 people. So five-eighths of the size of this room, every single week, God is blessing us with kids and with youth and with young people. What a great ministry. It's because we have a lot of aunts in this church. So the children's ministry, youth ministry, we also have a ministry now which takes in some of these things in Laguna Heights. God has blessed us with the ability to be able to buy a new property over there. And this is on the main drag, Highway 100. We have a two-car garage, a three-bedroom house, which we've converted into this ministry that we're using over there, multiple use. Three lots that God has blessed us with, which we plan to build more on, and we're going to certainly be doing more in the years to come. Laguna Heights ministry going on right now over there. Mommy and Me program, helping young moms to be moms, learn how to do that. 26 ladies involved in that. Sewing class, 8 involved in that. English as a second language class, 6 involved in that. The Glory Project, which is, if you were here a couple of years ago, there were several ladies that came forward with a burden of the circumstances of our community. Our community is one of the highest. We were at that time the highest as far as percentile teen pregnancy in the nation. So wherever you're from, we beat you. You got a teen pregnancy problem, trust me, we're ahead of you here, percentage-wise. It's not a thing you want to win at. And so with the burden from God to say, we've got to help, we got to do something, and where do we start, and how do you stop this? And it's not just a kid problem, it's a parent problem. There's so many facets. Where do you even come at this? Well, from this came what's called the Glory Project, trying to work with these young ladies, these crisis pregnancy situations. 42 now have attended this project, active 23 as it's going, again, in Laguna Heights. That's what's happening over there. 25 to 35 every Sunday night. I teach a Bible study over there. We have services, worship service over there. It's primarily in Spanish, so the reason why you don't publish it, because you can come, but it's going to be in Spanish. That's on Sunday nights, every single Sunday night. God has blessed us with that. This past year, we had our third Posada. Posada is a Mexican-Spanish cultural thing, but it's reenacting the night in which Mary and Joseph are looking for a room in the inn. And what did they find? There was no room in the inn. So they passed on the posada. They passed on. And so they finally found, of course, the place in the stable. But we reenact that. And we also, it's a great time to just testify of biblical things and also to witness to people and also to feed them. We fed 500 people this past year. Our ladies made 120 dozen tamales for that event. Takes a lot of ants to build that. Now, of course, I didn't build any, but there has to be makers and there has to be eaters. And so that's what I was. Just serving the ministry, serving the body of Christ. I think I've eaten like 6 dozen tamales this past year. My cholesterol is like, phew. It's been good. Also in Laguna Heights, Snow Cone Ministry every last Saturday of the month, 125 people involved in that. We've seen people come to the Lord through that ministry. We've seen lives change as a result of that. We also have 2 very large food pantries. Our church operates 2 separate food pantries, one here on this campus and one in Laguna Heights campus. In fact, they're housed, that food pantry in Laguna Heights is housed inside that double garage right there. That's where they keep their stuff. They still are out at the park, but we're progressively moving to our new site. Food pantries. The food pantry here serves 350 families, this campus, per month. The food pantry at Laguna Heights, 200 or a little better than 200 families per month. The ministry, I'm not sure what monies they're spending over here, but I know the ministry, the food pantry here is spending $700 a week to feed families. So if a family is on the average of 3 people, which the average is higher than that, but let's just say that for the sake of conservancy, if the average is 3 people and we're feeding 550 families per month, that means we're feeding 1,650 people through this church and through the ministry of this church per month. If you're not giving to anything, maybe you should think about that. We would appreciate it. public commitments that God has blessed us with this past year, not including church services. Hear me again. Not including church services. That is something that doesn't happen on Sundays. God has blessed us with 25, in addition to what happens on Sundays, 25 have accepted the Lord as Savior, 15 rededications, 8 indicating call into ministry that God has opened the doors for us. This has all been accomplished through the work of a lot of ants in this church. I'm going to give you the numbers. A lot of people serving in this church, 123 people serving in the ministries, volunteers that are serving the ministries that I just named. 123 people. In addition to that, given their times and talents. In addition to that, 57 additional people that serve on 9 different committees within this church throughout the year, a total of 180 people. So almost the number of sitting in this congregation right now. In our church, by the way, our average attendance is 300. And that's including the 700 and some whatever some odd are here this morning. So the average in. So God is using a very small congregation to do a very big work. And the reason for that is, guys, is because we've got a lot of ants. We've got a lot of people who have gone to the ant and learned. Gone to the ant and served. And like I said, I'm only speaking of volunteers. I'm not speaking of my staff. And you may say, well, the staff is conflicted interest because we get paid to do what we do. And you're welcome to say that about me. But you may not say that about my staff. Some of the most dedicated, some of the most altruistic, hardworking people that we have in this church are the staff members of this church. Serving. In many cases, they were doing what they're now doing without pay. And the reason why they're getting paid is because we felt so guilty for them to do so much and us not somehow financially supporting that. How can you ask a person, continue to ask a person to do so much and not give them money? Well, that's the way God has grown up ministries and ministers within our church, because these people have gone to the ant and they've learned. What a blessing it is as a pastor to be involved in a church where people serve and work. What a great relief it is to know, as it is, as it should be everywhere, that the ministry of the church is not done by the pastors. It's done by everybody. Every person is an ant. Every person has their place. Every person has their job. We're supposed to be a team. We're supposed to be thinking of others, right? We're supposed to be demonstrating, not just by the way that we talk, but the way that we live, that we have wisdom. We're supposed to be getting along. We're supposed to realize that we're dependent upon the body and that we're not lone rangers. We're supposed to be doing these things. And we would know them if we go to the ant. I ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we continue now with our time of invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you so much, God, for this church and for its commitment. I thank you for the good people here that serve, Lord, especially those that volunteer their time and their energies, Lord, who put their heart and soul into teaching, their heart and soul into administration, their heart and soul into outreach, their heart and soul into helping people, their heart and soul into doing things that they get nothing financially back from, but they get everything back from because you reward them. Lord, we thank you for these. I pray, God, that we would learn from them as we learn from the ant. To be faithful, God. To be hardworking, to be committed, to love you and love others, God, to think of others first. God, I pray that you would make us wise and it'd be demonstrated in the way we live. Thank you, God. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.